bit about the Jackson Bible Institute before we get into things this morning. It is called the Jackson Bible Institute and School of Ministry. Now, the students always call it what? JBI, the acronym, but we often leave out and School of Ministry, and it's really important to make sure you understand that. It's called the Jackson Bible Institute and School of Ministry because everything that we teach them, no matter what it is, we're teaching them from the perspective of how these things play out in our Christian life and in our local church, because it's the local church that God uses in this age, at this time, as the vehicle to complete his mission and his purpose of reaching the world and making disciples. So we always want to point out that it's the school of ministry. It always has that flavor to it, no matter what it is, no matter what it is that we're doing. We always want to make sure we point that out. And all of the pastors are the teachers in the Bible Institute. It's fully supported by the First Baptist Church of Jackson. It's a not-for-profit entity of our local church. And it consists of what I think is a grueling four-year curriculum. That's probably not good for recruiting new students, is it? It's not at all. It's easy. No, it's not. It is not. It's a different venue in our church. It's a different operation. It's a four-year curriculum based on a wide variety of biblical studies and ministry-related training courses. And it's second to none. I put it up against any Bible college anywhere on planet Earth, that's for sure. It's a very important ministry of our local church. It's designed to primarily for the further equipping and training of all of you, our faithful members, because you are the ones that attend the Bible Institute. We don't have anyone outside. Now, we have a combined Bible Institute with the Greentown Bible Institute, the Greentown Baptist Church, and their pastors teach in our Bible Institute as well. But outside of that, it's not open. I mean, we sent Greentown out. These are our people and our blood, as it were. But it's for you, our faithful members. And frankly, it's the final part of our disciple-making ministry as it offers further training and equipping for our disciplers. They learn overall how to develop a ministry strategy and how to implement that strategy in every aspect of their ministry for the Lord as individuals and here in our church. It's open to every member, and it's pretty affordable. I mean, basically, you just are paying for the curriculum that you get and maybe the light bill, and since we moved to LED, it's a lot cheaper. Huh, Duger? Right? That's right. All right. That was supposed to be really funny, but it didn't work out that way. Any planned jokes I've written down, I should just cross them off, right? Because they don't work. But it really is. It's for everybody. And everybody here can and should participate. If you've been discipled and you're a commissioned discipler here, you are qualified to attend. You know, we have some prerequisite courses to take to prepare you. And just so you know, here's how this works. It's a four-year curriculum, but each year stands alone because we don't have, you know, it's not like going to school where it's Monday through Friday. It's a four-year curriculum. We do it on Thursday nights for, I want to say 2.5 hours. No, up, 3 hours, up, okay, well, we're not helping our recruitment any. Yeah, it's generally from 6:30, if Aaron's teaching, and by the way, Aaron is preaching down at the Sandy Valley Baptist Church, Baptist Temple. Pastor Dan Sunday's on vacation and asked if Aaron would fill in, so he's not here with us today, but so I can make more fun of him anyways. Of course, I could do that with Aaron while he's here, right? But if Aaron's the last teacher, then it's a four-hour night, right? You mean it's me? Oh, okay. Oh, it's Stephen. Oh, Nicole, God bless you. Come here. All right. So you go longer than I do? And longer than Aaron? Oh, he's making excuses. Anytime somebody gets real defensive, you know they're guilty. Oh, I love this. This is a great day. You did it. He's got a red face. Yeah, the beard's helping out. Oh, we're just having fun with you, Pastor. It's all good. Now I forgot what I was even talking about. Obviously, the Bible Institute. But really, it is an important ministry here in our church. And the things that we teach and train our students are invaluable. You know, when we're in the business of starting new churches as well. Once we get too full, then we just send out another church. And the people that are trained, they might not become pastors or missionaries vocationally, but you all help in that process. When we sent out Greentown 3 years ago, I mean, 150 people left here, and that church is packed. And they're going to soon, right about the time we send out a new church, they're going to. And so we are in the multiplying business. And we can do that because of discipleship, because of our Sunday school curriculums, because of expositional preaching from this pulpit, and because of our Bible Institute. So it's huge. And I know I go over this every year, and I hope you don't get wore out on it, but we always have new folks with us and guests. But there's really three primary reasons why we have our own Bible Institute, and I want to run you through that this morning. Number one, it's biblical. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5 says, Paul is writing to Titus, and he says, "For this cause I, Paul, left thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting, and as a result, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." So Crete was a home base for training the church in Crete. Paul commissioned Titus to set in order, if you look at it, to set in order things that needed to be done in order to raise up trained pastors that could pastor churches and start new churches in the cities that surrounded the Cretans or the people in Crete. And so it's just biblical. It's our job as pastors to strengthen our entire church practically and doctrinally. It's our job as pastors to train our own people for effective leadership roles. It's our job to ordain new missionaries and pastors for our own church body. I mean, look, time's ticking. I'm going to be on Medicare this year. Now, I got a lot left in me. But, you know, I don't know how many more years that I'm going to be doing this. And plus, God's going to change my role here, folks. We'll have a new person step in, and it's not going to be easy for them because I'm the founding pastor here. But I will make it easy for them, and so will you. Amen? We've got to keep doing our work. And, of course, before I would retire from the senior pastor position, of course, I'm going to hire myself part-time. And pay myself a generous salary, too. No, I'm kidding. Kinda kidding. But I'll still be a part of this until I can't talk, or I can't walk or do it. And it's biblical to do this. Think about it. Right now, we have John Mark and Miranda Ziegler and the boys. They're out on deputation right now. Our own people who we've trained. We're saving up funds to send out another local church. And we anticipate others being called to the mission field. And we anticipate other folks that did what Linda and I did here. You know, when Linda and I came up here, we weren't sent out with money. We weren't sent out with 150 people. We came here with 23 adults, and we were two of them. I mean, we need some of you to go do that. To take a chance, to quit your good job because God has a call in your life. These are exciting times we live in. They're dark times, but they're exciting. The light shines brightest in the darkness. It casts the most light in the darkness. It's biblical. You know, it was common practice in time past Most of the churches in the United States were started not by Bible college graduates, but by young men and their wives, young men and young women who were trained by a local pastor and his wife. They might have lived in a little apartment in their house. It was common for them to do that. Or having an apartment out in their barn where they could live, because they were always in the business of training someone one-on-one, making disciples out of them and them training them for ministry. You know, excuse me, Pastor Eddie wants to do this for missionaries. He is at a point now where he and Sarah are going to be inviting some of you over there as interns to train you how to do missions. You might not be called to the Philippines, or maybe you'll be called to help them, but they're going to have some further training available for you to how to start a church on the mission field, and they know how to start a church on the mission field. So isn't this exciting stuff? Man, we're part of a church that's living. It's exciting. And we need some of you to step out. We didn't want to do this, did we, Linda? It was difficult. It was a difficult choice to make in the sense of giving up our life. But it wasn't difficult because we wanted to do that for the Lord, and we're not heroes for that. It's just reasonable service. That's all it is. And, you know, I was talking with Karen today. Where are you, Karen? Where's Karen? Playing pianist. Is Karen in here? Huh? She's in the overflow room. Karen. Hi, Karen. You're in the overflow room. I was talking to Karen. I said, Karen, you're an awesome... Didn't Karen do an awesome job playing the piano today? I said, Karen, you're an awesome pianist. She goes, no, I'm not. I'm just willing. And that's what it takes. It takes us to be willing. So listen, it's biblical to have our own Bible Institute. And number two, it's necessary. Boy, isn't it necessary? Wow. Revelation 3, 15 through 17 and 20. Matter of fact, if you're a guest with us, we're in a study of Revelation. This is obviously not a normal service. We're in an expositional study of Revelation, and next week we actually begin this text right here. This is the Laodicean church age. This is the time in which we live, starting in around 1900 AD up until the time of the rapture. Jesus says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. Now, in our vernacular, cold means completely turned off. And hot means, man, you're on fire. Yeah, you're all in. No, in the Lord's vernacular, they're in a desert area. Cold, a cold drink on a hot day is profitable. A hot drink on a cold desert night is profitable. This isn't, I'd rather have you completely turned off or completely on. No, he's saying, I want you on, all in. But instead, so then, because thou art what? Lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, not profitable, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Did you get that? This church age, the time in which we live, the vast majority of churches make God want to puke. What do you think of that? I didn't make that up. It says it right there in the Bible. And that is representative of this time and age in which we live. And it's just getting worse. So it's necessary. He says, because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not. They're blinded. That thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They're self-deceived. This is the Laodicean church, the church of blindness and self-deception, the church of self-centeredness, me, myself, and I, us, boy, aren't we great? And it's the church of the closed door. We just studied Philadelphia, and that's the church of the open door. This is the church of the closed door, because look, it says, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So he's not inside the church. He's on the outside, knocking, wanting to come in. If any man, not church, if any man hear my voice, let's hope it'd be the pastor, and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Singular. Churches don't respond to his knock, to his call, but there are people in lukewarm churches that do respond. And many of you have come from lukewarm churches. Now, I'm not boasting and I'm not saying we're all that, but let me repeat, this is reasonable service, what we're doing here. Amen? We're not all that. You know what we are? Just redeemed, vile, filthy, wretched sinners who deserve to go to hell, and we've been rescued by Jesus Christ. Isn't that the truth? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Christ, that cleanseth us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And so having a Bible Institute is biblical. It's absolutely necessary. The times we live in are dark. There's a significant lack of Bible being taught, of sound doctrine, a lack of men, frankly, and a lack of men, a lack of preachers that will unashamedly preach what the Bible says. You know, I had the opportunity, I prayed at the reception last night, and they put the mic in my hand. And I said, hallelujah! I said, a Baptist Bible preacher with a hot mic in a room full of people. And everybody looked terrified. I said, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. That was a lot of fun. It was fun. But listen, preachers don't really exist anymore. It's a show. It's trying to get as many people to come as possible. And to what end? To what end? Pastor Rory, you would always say, 500 feet wide and 1 inch deep. Huh? You've always said very profound things that we all remember. Amen? And that's the condition of churches today. Man, I don't want to be like that. What's the point of any of this? Listen, modern Bible colleges often take away the Bible from young students, and they don't teach them what to do to multiply themselves. They say it's not logical to have a final authority. It's very logical. What else do we have? Many professors in Bible colleges never started a church. They never pastored or even a missionary. And if they were, they didn't labor to reproduce reproducers. And these are the guys that are teaching and training our seminary students today. It's no wonder the church is in the condition that it's in. To what end? We need a Bible Institute, and so that's why we have one. And then last, it's the duty of our local church. It's our duty. Ephesians 3:21 says, unto him, that's Jesus Christ, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. And right in the middle of this book, he just throws this in. Can you say amen? You know what the duty of a local church is? You know what your duty is, first and foremost? To bring glory to God. To bring glory to the Lord in your thought life, in your decisions, in your actions. To have a good testimony. We talked about that this morning. Man, sang about it too. That's so important. Glorifying God is what we need to be all about here in this ministry. It's our duty. The local church is the premier teaching and training center and proving ground for someone's call in their life. There's none better. It is far superior and always has been, and God designed us to do this. It's far superior to any Bible college or podcast or any live stream where you can go and get Bible training. Far superior, because we're here. We're your pastors. We're with you. We're working with you to help you move along one step at a time. It's the premier. It's the perfect laboratory to prove a person's work or their possible calling to ministry. It's the perfect place to train men and women for the work of the Lord. Would you agree? It's the perfect place, check it out, to reproduce like-minded people in churches that think this way. Amen. And I'm ready, man. I'm ready now. This is exciting. And as usual, we get to hear from our Bible Institute graduates. So, you know, I hope you don't mind us going through that every year, but it's biblical, it's necessary, and it's our duty. And so now we get to the fun part, and that's to hear from our friends and our graduates. So there's four of them, and I'm going to introduce them to you in just a moment, and they're going to get their diploma, their handy-dandy graduation certificate, and we got a nice gift for them. We've got various gifts because some of them already, we had to tell them what we were getting them because we weren't sure who owned what already. So we worked that all out, and so we have a nice gift for our grads. So at this time, I would like to invite our grads to come forward and our pastors to come forward, if you would, at this time. And again, remember, Aaron would be here helping out, but he's working and preaching elsewhere today. All right. Well, first, it's my awesome pleasure to introduce my good friend, Nicole Gaskin. Nicole, congratulations. And thank you for giving me an opportunity to get on to Stephen.
I'm just doing what I'm trained.
You're just doing what you're trained. See, what did I say? Deflecting, defensive. It's just how it works. And then right following behind Nicole is her husband, Aaron Gaskin, my man. You're the best, man. Then, what a pleasure to introduce Devin Hopkins. Devin. And this morning, his wife is the one that shared Liz and sang today and talked about your baby boy, cute baby boy. And so what a pleasure to be able to present you today. And then last but absolutely not least, my man, my friend, Andrew Lalathan. Andrew, you're such a fine man, Andrew. I love you, man. Stay steady. All right. He has a big cheering section over here. They're the ones that just won't sit down. Huh? Is that true, John? It's true. All right. Great, great. Well, these are our 2025 JBI and School of Ministry grads. Let's give them a hand. So, Pastor, you have anything to say or before you pray?
Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are so thankful to be part of this local church. It's a privilege to be here, to be a part of this family. I think about the course of my own life and how you led me here, and I think about these graduates and how each of their lives have been very special in your sight, and you led them to us to be a part of our family, and they are key ministers in our church. The impact that they have made while they've been with us is just priceless, and the investment that you have poured into them and that they in turn have poured out to others is incredible, and they're living out 2 Timothy 2:2. They are faithful men and faithful women that want to teach others also. And that's really why we do what we do. We want to make you look good. We want to honor you. We want to glorify you. And you told us that the way that we were going to do that is by bearing much fruit that remains. And we're very serious about that. Even as part of the special today is that we only have one life to live. And that life that you've given us is a gift. And those moments that you've given us to be redeemed back to your account, to give you the honor and the glory that you deserve. That's why these students are doing what they're doing well before they even got into the Bible Institute. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we are so thankful for them because we know that the investment in each one of them is not in vain. And we're excited to see the things that you're going to be able to do in and through them as they continue pursuing you. This is just one step of their journey, and they all know that. They all have a heart to honor you and to love you and to show you their love for you by their life. And I'm just very thankful. I'm thankful for them as church members. I'm thankful for them as leaders. I'm thankful for them as friends. And so, Father, I pray that you would continue to be honored in their life, that they would take the things that have been entrusted to them and they would continue to be faithful to invest those things, and they would keep learning and keep growing, because this is just the beginning. And so, Father, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you. We thank you for the privilege of having your book. We thank you for the privilege of being able to be together as a church family, to interact over your word, to obey the word of God together. And the things that you teach us as we spend this time together is incredibly valuable. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in our midst today. Thank you for each of them, and thank you for our church family. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And by the way, all of our pastors here, with the exception of myself, I was trained at my local church down in New Philly, but to all of our pastors here homegrown missionaries, we're all trained and graduates of our Bible Institute. And so that says a lot. So God bless you all. Matter of fact, how many of you are graduates of our Bible Institute? Why don't you stand up? That includes you guys now, right? If you graduated from our Bible Institute, why don't you stand up? Come on, everybody. All right. Well, congratulations. Man. All right. Well, we have a lot more than that, so you know where they all are? Out serving. Or Greentown. Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, now we enter into really the fun part, and that's to hear testimonies from our graduates. So let's go ahead and get right into things. So I want to invite Nicole and Aaron Gaskin up front. Why don't you guys start us off?
Hello, my name is Aaron Gaskin. This is my wife, Nicole. And we have had the privilege of serving in the junior high ministry for 7 years here. And we have two children, Keaton, he's 2.5, and Avery, she's 6 months old. And we're just so thankful for what the Bible Institute has helped us with parenting, with our ministry that we're involved in, and so many things in our life. My journey with JBI actually began over a decade ago in 2012, and I completed my first year at that time, and it then dropped out of my second year. And at the time, I was single, and I thought, oh man, life is so busy and so hard then, but I look, now it's a little bit, it's just wild to think. I mean, I was 22, so what do you expect? But at that time, throughout my whole life, I've been burdened to serve the Lord, and that was why I joined at that time, but then through my life, things would get in the way. I would mess up, and instead of running to God and immediately repenting, I would run from God. And a lot of my story just makes me think of Moses, how he was burdened for his brethren, but he went about it the wrong way, committed murder, and ran for 40 years. I think of Peter and his eagerness to lead, and then the second he's questioned about being with Jesus Christ, he denies him 3 times. And yet, Jesus personally restored him. And he was used greatly for the rest of his life, especially at Pentecost at that time. And I think of John Mark. These are people that stand out. And I think of, oh man, I can resonate with these guys. John Mark abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. But then later, he proved faithful, and Paul asked him to personally come to him in his final days. He asked about him personally. And that's what it was, is Jesus continued to draw me back. And that's what these past 3 years, being able to jump back in and finish with my wife, was such an incredible journey. And we, she started with no kids, and now we have 2. And it was such a fun chapter. I'll always look back, even though it was very hard at times. But God's persistent love it continues to draw me. This passage in Hosea chapter 11, it reminds me, and he's talking to Israel, and this is the northern tribe. They're a tribe that is messed up, and yet God is saying, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. In verse 2, he says, as they called them, the prophets called them, so they went from them, and they ran from the prophets. And I think, God, how many people in my life did he use to call me and draw me, and I would run from those in my life? Verse 3, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. And I can look back now, and during those times when God protected me from things in my life and just messing it up even worse than I could, I look back and it's like he was there holding my arm, and I didn't even know it, and I didn't want to acknowledge it. And then verse 4, I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. And that's what JBI was for me. We had hardships, loss, but we had joy. Our family's growing all through JBI, and it's going to stand out for the rest of my life. And I think of this, and it was there in those hard moments. I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and I lead meat unto them. He sure did that in my life, and that's what JBI was for me. It was a great moment, and so thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nicole Gaskin, and somebody just yell at me if I cry, okay? So I'm going to try and hold it together. So this journey has been nothing short of a roller coaster for us. I experienced some high highs and low lows these last 4 years, all while being in the Bible Institute. But as I look back, the recurring theme that has continued throughout has been God's faithfulness to me. When I started attending FBCJ 10 years ago when I got saved, I remember graduation Sunday came around, and I was thinking, wow, I could never join the Bible Institute. One, I was about to finish college, and I thought that was enough schooling for me. And two, I could barely tell you where the book of Romans was. But never say never when it comes to the Lord is what I've learned over the years. And the more I dug into God's word, the more I needed to learn and apply these things. So 7 years ago, Aaron and I joined the junior high ministry, as he mentioned, and that's where God really started changing my heart. Being with the youth, I wanted to serve the Lord and be the best minister I could possible for him. And I told myself that the Bible Institute was really the next step to doing that, and that's really the reason that I joined. So we're halfway through our first year. We found out that I was pregnant, and all these thoughts started going through my mind. You know, I'm going to be a mom. I'm working full time. We're serving. I just started JBI. How am I going to do this? And I'm a worrier by nature. So it's good that God knew what he was doing when he gave me Aaron, because Aaron doesn't worry about anything if you've met him. And so, yeah, so he really brings me back to reality a lot of the times. So Philippians 4, 6, and 7 have really become my life motto over the years, so just be careful for nothing. And the rest of that year went great. I had my son at the beginning of our second year, and I had some complications with his birth. So we had an unplanned C-section. I was in the hospital for an extra week. And I really struggled the following weeks with postpartum anxiety really bad, which is nothing I was ever familiar with throughout my life. And it was completely foreign to me. It was like I knew my thoughts and feelings were irrational, but I couldn't help it. I couldn't shake it. And so recovering from the surgery, learning how to be a mom, trying to keep up on homework and all these things and a wife, it was not easy. But the Lord got me through every single day. And that's one thing he showed me these last 4 years, is just that his mercies are truly new every day. And he just continues to pour out grace on me that I don't deserve. It's funny how on those nights that I just didn't want to go to class. And God gave me exactly what I needed to hear out of his word. And he always seems to do that, doesn't he? He just continues to show his faithfulness when we're faithful. And he always knows when things are going to happen before we ever know it. It's just he's getting our hearts ready to be right towards him. And during that second year of class, we were going over the Old Testament survey. And so we had to read a book of the Old Testament a week. And in the moment, some days were really hard to do that. And after the summer after that, I was 11 weeks pregnant with my second. And I just felt I knew something was wrong. So we went to the hospital. And when we were sitting in the hospital and the doctor told us that we had lost the baby, immediately God brought to my mind Job 1:21. Where he said that the Lord giveth and the Lord taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we were able to praise God in the hardest, worst moment of my life. We were crying tears of joy. And I don't think that would have happened had we not been immersed in the Old Testament for the months leading up to that. And so he just continues to be faithful. Amen. And so as you can see, my Bible Institute journey has also coincided with my childbearing journey, because at the end of my third year, we found out we were pregnant with our daughter, Avery. And so, you know, I'm still working full time from home. Keaton is growing. It's just getting harder and harder to do that. And I was able to quit my job at the beginning of this year through some awesome circumstances, and God's faithfulness continues. But if anybody knows my children, they don't like to sleep. And Avery, it just was proving to be harder and harder, like those long sleepless nights. And I just thought, is this ever going to end? And one night again, I didn't want to go to class. And Katie Baker was giving a testimony about Psalm 127. And I just want to read a couple verses. The first three verses say, "Except the Lord buildeth the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And that changed my life, honestly, and how I looked at my children in these sleepless nights. And just, it really did change my mindset. And again, using the Bible Institute, God showed his faithfulness to me. And as I look back now, I chuckle because I thought I was busy in year one before I had a newborn. And come year four, I have a toddler and a newborn. And so another thing that the Lord really showed me is that the excuse, "Oh, I don't have time to read my Bible. Oh, I don't have time to memorize that verse or do discipleship," it will never work for me now. And I'm so thankful for that, because I don't want to waste precious time that the Lord has given me. And now, as Aaron and I are navigating parenthood with two small children, we ended our JBI journey this past trimester with spiritual leadership and prayer. And I just see God's faithful, sweet timing for that as well. We couldn't have ended with a better class. So I want to end with two reflection points, two things that I won't miss so much, two things that I will miss so much. One thing that I won't miss so much are true and false test questions, which if anybody's ever taken Stephen's Daniel class, you will know what I'm talking about. And then the second thing I won't miss so much is my poor parents having to appease my very tired and clingy children on some of those really late nights. I owe them a vacation. Two things that I'm really going to miss, and these don't even sum it up, but seeing our pastors' hearts and just gleaning wisdom from them on how they live their lives, there's nothing like that. And then two, I'm going to miss just being saturated with God's word and being pushed to think outside the box on a lot of those things, and just being pushed. And his word truly is a well that will never run dry. I want to leave you with a verse that really sums up what the Lord taught me and brought me through these last 4 years, and it's Psalm 89:1. "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Thanks.
All right, well, good morning, church. My name is Devin Hopkins, and I'm a software engineer at Top Echelon Software. So as my time in JBI started to wind to a close, and I knew I'd have to give kind of this graduation testimony, I started to reflect a little bit more deeply on my time in JBI. And one of the first things that really stood out to me was the constant change in my life over these past 4 years. When I started JBI, I was single, had just graduated college, and was living at home with my parents. Shortly thereafter, I moved out into a house with some guys from the church. I started dating the girl who would become my wife. I moved into an apartment by myself. I got married, and then my wife moved in. My wife wanted me to make sure that was very clear. thank you. then we had a kid. And then we got a house and moved into that house, and probably the most drastic change of everything is that I grew some facial hair. But throughout all of these changes, there was a constant, and that constant was the Word of God. And the Word of God provided support to me in ways that I don't think I've ever felt before, and certainly not at this magnitude. And I just wanted to read a verse that kind of summarized that support I felt during my time in JBI. And that verse is 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it says, "And he," speaking of Christ, "said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And I've always known this to be true. And, you know, the only place to really grow and to be able to really glorify God is to be put in places where you are weak. But I've always applied this to bad situations. My first thought was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. I mean, they were utterly helpless in that situation. They were weak in that situation. And their only hope was God. And he provided for them. He protected them. And I'm sure their walk with God was always different after that. And God got so much glory out of that. I know, like, when I'm in bad situations, there are so many times where I'm just like, God, I don't even know what mountains you can move to get me out of this. But you know what? I'm giving it to you. And it is magnificent in the way he moves. And it's so comforting. But in these past 4 years, I've also learned that this applies to good situations as well. You see, when you're walking with God, you're going to be called to places and to do things that you're not necessarily comfortable with in order to stretch you, to grow your faith. And it's in these places where you're uncomfortable and you're weak, where God is really able to show his strength through you and grow you and to be able to get even more glory. And let me better illustrate that by sharing some examples from the past 4 years in JBI. Just this past year, there were several times where during that preaching and teaching class where I'm like, I have no idea how in the world I'm going to finish this homework, get this message written, practice this, and have it done by Thursday. And yet somehow there was always time that was made. God always made a way, just the right amount of time. I remember the first time getting up in front of everyone. It was when we were learning to baptize people. So we got up in front of everyone over here, and I wasn't even in the comfort of my own clothes. I was in my bathing suit. And granted, I wore a shirt and everything, so, you know, it's not, like, weird, but but yeah, that was so nerve-wracking. And the build-up to that, oh my gosh, I had no clue how I was going to get through it. But I was like, all right, Lord, I know you called me to do this. And through his power, I was able to get through it. I remember going back to even my first time in the JBI classroom. I was sick the first 2 weeks, so my first week was that third week, and we had a quiz. And yeah, what a way to start off. Walk right in, take a quiz. And when I walked in, I was so nervous. I could barely hold the pencil to write because my hands were shaking so bad because I just had so many thoughts of, I don't belong here. I am so out of my league. God, are you sure this is the right place? What am I doing here? And yet, by the time my senior year rolled around and was finishing, I find myself wishing that there was a fifth year. Although at the same time, I'm kind of glad it's over because I was really fighting senioritis that last year. And all of this to say, I was able to push through these challenges, this unfamiliar territory, because God made me promises to be my strength when I was weak, and he kept those promises. And when he leads me to a place where I'm not comfortable and I don't want to be, it's not an option to turn back or to say no. Amen. Because I know that God would never put me in a position that I can't handle as long as I'm trusting in him. Amen. And the only option in those positions is to accept that it's going to be uncomfortable, trust God, and go do it. And when that happens, miracles can happen. And so as I wrap up, I wanted to leave you with this. You know, I don't know where all of you are in your walk with the Lord, but I do know that God has us taking steps of faith all the time with his plan for your life. And that includes me. And so I don't know what that next step of faith looks like for you, but I encourage you to pray and think on some things as I do as I graduate JBI and I'm looking forward. Maybe your next step of faith looks like joining JBI next year. That is an awesome, awesome way to stretch yourself and grow yourself. Maybe it's participating in a ministry. I know the children's ministry always needs more workers. Maybe it's discipleship. Maybe it's going out and evangelizing. Maybe it's simply coming on Wednesday nights. Maybe it's accepting Christ as your personal savior. And maybe it's simply just coming consistently on Sunday morning. Something as simple as that can be a massive step of faith. And speaking from personal experience over these past 4 years, whatever that next step of faith is, no matter how big, how small, whatever it may seem, it is always, always, always worth taking with God. Thank you.
Morning, church. My name is Andrew Lolithan, and this is the second time I'm going to go ahead and give a graduation speech this morning. I gave my first one in the junior high. This one I've got to condense down a lot more, though. So, all right, so here we go. Psalm chapter 90, verse 9 says, "We spend our years as a tale that is told." You see, our life's a story. And I was doing some reflecting this past week, thinking about my high school graduation, thinking about my college graduation. And now here am I at the Jackson Bible Institute graduating from that. And as I was kind of reflecting and thinking about all of those things, it's, yeah, just God working in and through your life at different stages, at different steps, and it's giving God the honor and the glory that's due his name. And with that, I'm the only one that brought up my certificate here. It says, "This is to certify that Andrew Lolithan has completed the four-year course of study offered as in equipping ministry of the First Baptist Church of Jackson." But what I want to point out to you is one thing on the certificate, and it's right here. It's the seal. The seal. You see, in my journey, in my career, I had received seals on my diplomas, my degrees, my bachelor degree, my master's degree. And all of those things, you see, the seal is this distinctive mark that indicates the document's authenticity. In my journey to become an architect, you see, after passing seven state exams, I received a seal that I could go ahead and stamp on a set of drawings to establish the authenticity of the document that relates to the authorship of the drawings. But you see, there's a spiritual application here. Spiritually speaking, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. When I was a five-year-old boy, see, 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." I received the seal of my Savior on that very day. I get choked up about it because when I read that verse, this is my life. And when I place that seal on that piece of paper and squeeze it tight, this paper is no more the same. The paper has been crimped by the author of the drawings. God put his seal on my life. You see the seals in those certificates or those degrees. The seal on this certificate that I've received today. You see, I know the author of my salvation because in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of the faith. He is the author of my life. There's another thing about this seal, especially in my industry as an architect. Nothing can get built without the seal of an engineer or an architect. In my life personally, no construction can begin without that seal. That's the starting point. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You see, the drawings don't build the building. The seal does not build the building. It gives it authorship. It gives it the opportunity to go ahead and have the building get built. But you see, it's individual responsibility. JBI, for me, it was another step in the building upon the foundation that God laid in my life. Pastors, thank you. Pastor Tom, the homiletics class that we just finished this year, gave me the confidence to preach and to teach God's word. Amen. 4 years ago, like a lot of you said, I'd never imagined myself up here. Pastor Stephen, most recently the missions class, it softened my heart toward the need for Bible-believing churches, not just in this area, globally, around the world. Amen. Pastor Aaron's not here, but his Old Testament and New Testament survey classes, you see to see the theme of every one of the books of the Bible and to read one book every single week, this is no ordinary book. Amen. The author of this book lives inside of me now. You see, it's affected me in my ministry. It's led to God opening up doors that I never thought would be possible. Junior high is representing today. Three of us serving the junior high. A highlight for me over the past 4 years was taking our students to serve and assembling Bibles at Bearing Precious Seed in Milford, Ohio. It was amazing. One-on-one discipleship, I had a conversation with a local pastor. It was teaching at the Northwest Bible Club just this year. It was having the opportunity to preach at Liberty Bible Church up in Vienna, Ohio. Just this past year, I connected with a missionary architect to draw a chapel addition at a church in Togo, Africa. Number three, it was the edifying of the other brothers and sisters. Like has already been mentioned, Thursday night is a special night. Sometimes it's a challenge to go and to stay awake. I just want to mention a few. Ed Kramer. I joined JBI at his encouragement. Don't worry, I got him back, though. As it was already mentioned, Pastoral Ministries, I was lucky enough to have him selected as my partner. He's tall. As I baptized him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I hit his head on the back of the baptismal. That guy's tall. We need to get a longer baptismal. Yeah. Jane Miller, I don't know where you're at, but it was a blessing to sit in front of you my third year. You're always so encouraging. Dave Robles, I know he's serving with the kids this morning. Oh, Dave, hello. It was receiving text messages from you asking about homework that I hadn't even started yet. Probably the last special thing for me is sitting next to my brother Adam the last 2 years. Special. It's just a time throughout the week that I know it's not just my brother in Christ, but my brother by blood, and going that through that with him. Amen. You see, here's my final charge to the graduates, and I guess really all of you. You see, the seal, if you're in the family of God, has been placed upon every believer in here. But you know what? That seal, it doesn't get stuff done. What it does is it gives you that right, that authority, that charge to live as a child of God. You see, God has placed you in here, in this church, for a specific reason, to do a specific work. I encourage all the graduates and every one of you in here to walk according to your calling, to seek to do everything for God's glory, and to build a life that reflects Jesus Christ. You see, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. With that, we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the testimonies of the individual graduates here this morning. Lord, everybody has a unique and a specialized story for them in their life. Lord, I thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you for the seal that you placed on every single believer. Lord, when that seal is placed on us, we are not to be the same. We are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And Lord, I pray that we would live a life that reflects that. A life, Lord, worth living. Lord, in a way that would bring honor and glory to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, because he is the ultimate display of love. God didn't just say, I love you, like it's spoken of in John 3:16, and leave it there. It was his Son that acted upon that love. A mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, and he is there, ready and willing for us to call on his name to be saved. Expecting that. I love how Pastor Stephen put it this morning. A gift that's given, expected to be received. Lord, I love you. I pray and ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Man, it was worth coming here, wasn't it, Linda? You see what I'm talking about? I want you to need me, but you don't. You don't. We've got plenty of people trained that know what to do, that are doing it right now. I'll tell you, Andrew, you're a preacher, brother. You just touched my heart and reached deep into my soul. Devin, that was incredible. You're an incredible man, Devin. Honored to know you. You are some of the sweetest people I've ever met, Aaron, Nicole. And yet, in your sweetness, you're unafraid, bold. You're a great blessing to me. And I just want to tell you guys, I'm really proud of you. So let's give him a hand. You know, I know this sounds silly, but, if World War III happened, although I'm kind of thinking it's already gone on, it just hasn't made its way here yet. But, man, we have plenty of churches all around, plenty of pastors, plenty of home churches, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? Plenty of people that are capable, that understand what to do. And what a blessing. Don't ever take that for granted, folks. And no matter what, we saw high school graduates up here today. Everyone, regardless of whether you go to Bible Institute or whatever, if you enter into vocational ministry or not, whatever you're doing, every person in here, no matter what your lot in life, no matter what your position, no matter what it is that you do, every single person in here has great value. You're very valuable to the Lord. I mean, think about it. Think of the price that was paid for your eternity. Think of the high price. I mean, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know, they say there's about 5 quarts of blood in the human body. Just think, 5 quarts existed at one time on this planet of the blood of the God-man, the man-God, Jesus Christ. It's the most valuable substance. The most valuable substance in all of the universe. Not much of that. And that's what it took to buy you in your eternity. And out of all the throngs of people that have ever lived on this planet, billions of people through the ages of time, there's only one person like you. Only one. That's how valuable you are to the Lord. You're special. So no matter what it is you do, do it heartily for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads, please? Maybe you made your way in here today, and it was not a normal service, to be sure, and we didn't open our Bibles and read lots of passages and things like that. We heard a lot of Scripture today, that's for sure. We saw some up on the board. Scripture was quoted and sang today.